The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast on Thursday, the 6th of May, 2021. On the podcast today, Mark Epstein, CEO of Mobile Streams, and Tim Scoffman, Chief Commercial Officer of Quanta Media Group. And they discuss their synergistic relationship in the iGaming market. Also, John Mayer, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel, talks about the UK stockpiling metals. He also talks about copper and the following companies: Africtin, Kodal Minerals, Phoenix Copper, and Power Metals. And of course, at the end of the podcast, I have two lists for you: the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most read RNSs. By the way, you can see both these lists at voxmarkets.co.uk. We can see, in fact, there's lots of content there. Bulletin Board Heroes from Zach Mir. There's a video there. He talks about Clear Science, Gfinity, Hurricane Energy, Harvest Minerals, Amiga Diagnostics, Predator Oil, Pure Gold, Protium, Red Rock, UK Oil, Union Jack, and Zambeef. Plus, there's also an article there on Bahamas Petroleum, Blue Star Capital, Alien Metals, plenty of other content, and a COVID-19 index. Biggest rise of the day is Omega Diagnostics, up 78.5 pence. That's 10%. Biggest faller, Hemogenics, down 6.6% to 2.475 pence. Check that out at voxmarkets.co.uk.
Vox Markets is an online community of investors that runs a free mobile and desktop platform that allows you to track news and updates about any UK-listed company, offering RNS push notifications, detailed charts, pricing data, and much more. Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
Joining me today on the podcast is CEO of Mobile Streams, Mark Epstein, and Tim Scoffham, Chief Commercial Officer of Quanta Media Group. Thank you both for joining me today.
Hiya, great to be here.
Hiya, thank you. Good morning.
Now, just quickly for investors who might be listening but aren't necessarily familiar with Mobile Streams, Mark, if you could just tell us a little bit about the company to start and what it does exactly.
Yeah, for sure. So Mobile Streams has been around for quite a while, 10, 15 years. It used to have a big background in content delivery all across the world, delivering gaming content and other content into various markets, everything from Argentina, India, Mexico, global. We then, a new management team came in about a year and a half ago, and basically we've transformed that business, which was in decline, into a sort of thriving content insight and intelligence business, taking the learnings that the company had had across its time delivering content and launching a content insight and business intelligence business called Streams. And there's two components to that. There's the content part, which is a relatively entry-level product. And then there's an enterprise platform, which gives a much bigger sort of content and business intelligence platform to the end user. And we launched that around the middle of last year, and it's been really successful. It's been gaining a lot of ground. We launched in October last year the content SaaS component of that, and that's really been going well since we did that, providing a great base of customers for us to upgrade to the enterprise product. Then obviously we recently partnered with Quanta. We'll obviously come on to what we're doing with them, but we're doing some amazing work with the team at Quanta as well now.
That's great. So about a week ago, you had some news in regard to this new partnership. Now, when you're introducing this, you referenced the Streams content platform as well as a previous investment made by the company. So could you just explain how this partnership came about initially?
Yeah, I'll just briefly talk about it, and then I'll hand over to Tim from his side. So basically, Quanta were using our sort of entry-level content intelligence platform, the SaaS version. And then we had some conversations with them. And basically, we discovered there was a lot more we could do together. And so we basically moved them onto the enterprise version of the platform. And obviously, we've announced that previously as well. And we're helping through that to streamline and make all of their content creation and delivery much more efficient across all of their touch points on sites globally. And so we're doing a lot with them using that. And then basically, the more we talked, the more we found there was a big overlap and a big opportunity between the two businesses. And so obviously I spoke earlier about the historically Streams had a very large business of content delivery. And it turns out, you know, the team at Quanta could really invigorate that. And now we're looking to reinvigorate our legacy business using the team and the skills and the assets that Quanta have. But also with that, their business plan, which is built around content delivery, really sort of hand in glove, their sort of front end fitted our sort of back end skill engine and back end technical platforms that we're building. And so, yeah, we've invested in them as well. And then I'll leave it to Tim to talk about their plans, but got some amazing things that happened there.
Thanks, Mark. So yeah, if I just maybe give some context behind QMG, Quantum Media Group, before we talk a little bit more about the collaboration between the two businesses. And Quantum Media Group is, for those who don't know, is a lead generation business in the iGaming industry to a $7.5 billion market, which is growing exponentially. Now, the online gambling market is expected to reach over $100 billion by 2025. And within that, you know, our addressable market, which is researched from a well-known reporting source, is $7.5 billion and growing at a compound annual growth rate 11.5%. So come 2025, that's looking at like 12 to 13 billion. So there's a huge opportunity here. Now it's the time to capitalize on that growth. So QMG itself is, you know, powered by a combined 50 years plus experience in the industry across affiliate marketing, engagement tools, audience engagement tools, technology, and of course, iGaming products. And its management team, which in one is responsible for the acquisition of hundreds of thousands of new players to operators, which translates to hundreds of millions worth of affiliate revenue. So we're well placed to execute our strategy and our strategy at scale. But one thing that we have, just to give some insights, and we pivot our business around, is that, you know, the whole industry itself is going through a period of change, and that change ultimately is in consumer behavior, which is very much in the favor of QMG's philosophy. So our strategy is to focus very much on consumer loyalty and retention, because that provides the lifetime value of the user, more revenue value to us as a company. And of course, the piece, as you'd expect, underpins all of this is technology. And the scalability of our commercial model is worldwide, and our business is facilitated by technology. And what I mean by that, of course, is the superior insight that we'll have on player behavior. It means we can work with our operators to maximize that value. So how does that work with Streams? Ultimately, you know, it's another piece of technology which we can layer into our suite of capability to understand, analyze, and optimize the content that we have to engage our users. As a first step, you know, we've already started to prepare the Dutch market, which is regulating later this year, which is an enormous opportunity for us. And we're launching a number of verticals. But additionally, we're going to start in Mexico. LATAM is a region which is growing very quickly. Both companies, both MOS and QMG, have experience in this region. And to give some more insight to that, on the executional side, you know, we have a very powerful football brand, which we're going to be launching later in this summer with MOS, to sort of maximize, you know, the audience of this football mad nation, where content and engagement sits at the heart of that consumer experience. And working with a leading telco, Telcel, in Mexico, which is one of MOS's carrier connections, who we've already had in-depth conversations with about how we monetize that flow and capitalize on that value, is such that it's, you know, it makes this partnership very exciting, a multi-million-dollar partnership. You know, we're just at the start of that. And say Mexico is the first market of many.
Yeah, thanks, Tim. Yeah, so we were really excited. We had a great call to say with Telcel the other day, and we're looking forward to later in the year launching that football content into the Mexican market and really reinvigorating the legacy business, along with driving new revenue cross-pollinating by the streams business as well. So, you know, a huge amount of synergy in the partnership.
That's great. So you're starting in the Mexican market, and it's clear that the two businesses clearly complement each other, and you say that they overlap. Can you say anything more about how the two will be working together aside from this initial entry into the Mexican market?
Yeah. I think a good example is the way, well, to give a sort of indication, a good example will be, obviously, the Mexican market is, we're going into, is where they're helping streams with our legacy business.
Mm.
So this, you know, is they're helping streams reinvigorate a legacy. So we already have the partnership with Telcel. They're helping reinvigorate that at the same time as launching, you know, their own services in that territory. And that's a double, if you'd like, double win, a win-win for both businesses. In the Dutch market, although we don't have any legacy business there, they're using our streams business and content intelligence enterprise to help drive much greater efficiencies and improve their content delivery in the Dutch iGaming and regulated gambling market. And so you can see on this, there's two sides to this. There's where our streams product helps their business enter new markets, seize new markets, and, you know, really, really helps them win in their territories. And then there's where they also help us, where we work to reinvigorate our legacy business at the same time as launching their products. So that's how it will work. And we're looking at, obviously, we've announced Holland. We've already announced that we were looking at the legacy business. So it's, you know, Mexico will be the first place we go with the legacy rejuvenation. But there's plenty of other territories that we're actively having discussions with. And so I think you know, there's no limit to really where this partnership goes. Tim has talked very effectively, I think, about the size of the online gambling market, the iGaming market. You know, the SaaS platform that we've launched, Streams, going from, you know, one success to the next. And so I think the whole partnership is brilliant. And, you know, we're extremely pleased with the results of the investment we've made, with the results of the partnership so far. You know, the working relationship with the team is, you know, it's a pleasure, to be honest with you. Such a talented group of people, the management team, the entire team at Quanta. And so, you know, between the two companies, I think there's a lot of value that's going to be created.
That's great. And something you kind of touched on this in what you just said, but in terms of how you view the partnership's long-term significance and future opportunities, can you say anything more about that?
Well, all we can say, obviously, we've got to, you know, all we can say is we're actively looking at a number of significant opportunities, some more developed than others. And obviously, any announcements will be made by the sort of, you know, correct channels. But both companies are actively looking at opportunities to increase value and to drive revenue. And there are significant opportunities that we are, you know, at this moment, looking at and well underway to hopefully delivering for the shareholders.
Yeah, I think to sort of second that and add some additional insight to the multifaceted nature of this partnership is that, you know, there's the legacy business, which talks to carry connections in very key regions and markets, which QMG are focused on as well, in terms of LATAM, potentially India, and so forth. So, you know, there's not only that relationship to be had, but also the legacy business carries a suite of games. And these games, as we foresee them, are engagement tools. And these engagement tools are exactly what we use at QMG to engage with users through gamification, and where we're able to then harness the data we can extrapolate from that user's experience and help to better understand the profile of a given user. So it just helps us to better understand our audience. So when we're then working with the operators, we get to, say, maximize that value. So there's two there. And then, of course, the platform itself, the back end, if we want to call it, which is the content optimization platform from Streams, which is, you know, agnostic in terms of any market we go into, really. So, you know, we're really excited about this opportunity because it's multifaceted, because it layers on top of markets we're already looking at, and because it supports us on both the front and back end, which is absolutely pivotal in the technology play and one that's growing as quickly as the iGaming industry.
Yeah, and I would just add that, you know, people should look forward to many more sort of joint announcements and exciting things to come from this partnership.
That's great. Thank you so much. And now usually actually how this podcast works is Justin will usually ask that to close off, you could give our audience three reasons to follow the company to their Vox Markets watch list. Perhaps you could maybe, we could come at the angle since this is a collaboration of just an outline of three reasons as to why people should follow and tune into this partnership.
I'll just sort of say, if you, Tim, can add, but massive potential. But just at the beginning of this, the value of the business, the market cap, is still very, very low. So those are three that I would say.
Great. You've rounded that up perfectly. Well, thank you both so much for coming on and for giving an overview of that partnership. It's exciting.
Thanks very much. Yeah, we really think it's important to come on and explain it to people so people can really understand the opportunities between the two businesses.
Definitely. And you've done that very well. Thank you. Thank you both.
Thank you very much. Yeah, really appreciate your time.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is John Mayer, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel. All right, John?
Yes, good. Thank you.
Back in the office?
Back in the office, yeah.
Did you see that survey the other day? It was a survey conducted by the BBC. They asked the 50 biggest companies in the UK whether they're sending their employees back to the office. I don't know what time frame this was, but 43 of them out of 50 said no, they're not going to send them back to the office, or they're going to do some kind of hybrid where a couple of days at home, you know, and a few days in the office kind of thing. So, did you go out in the town as well last night?
A couple of sherbets, enjoying the delights of London.
This is still
but
busy.
I must admit, it's
cold,
busy, but it was very cold. So to be honest, there were empty tables, and so it was possible to sort of go out and get a few drinks, but get cold at the same time.
Yeah. Do you know, one of the stories I saw, I thought of you actually, when I saw yesterday on tweeted out, I don't know who he's by, but they're saying that UK is stockpiling metals to protect against China. And I thought, what's that? I didn't read any deeper into that, and I know you featured that. I mean, what's that all about, John?
Well, Britain is looking to develop the electric vehicle car industry on a pretty major scale. And of course, somebody's managed to get through to the government that actually we need to, if we're going to have this industry, we've got to have access to the metals that are required. So very good idea to actually develop our own stockpile, because we can't rely on, shall we say, our near neighbours in Europe anymore for anything very much. Mm. So we're developing our own stockpile. I actually think that's brilliant. I mean, there are people who are quite close to government now who know and understand the mining industry. So Mick Davis, who was so successful with Xstrata, he's the treasurer to the Tory party. So you've got people who understand industry and how the world works actually advising the government quite closely, and this is what's coming out, which is brilliant, because this will enable us to develop not only our automotive industry into the new electric era, but also guarantee that we've got metals for wind farms, solar farms, all the other things that we need to put together in order to upgrade and modernize the world that we live in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good. I mean, yeah, we're going to need to sort of start producing these metals, these, metals for batteries and stuff and everything related. And talk about that, copper, you mentioned there was hitting a high, wasn't it, recently?
Yeah, well, copper is at a very interesting point in time at the moment. You know, it's poised to either break out higher, which is probably where it's going. We've broken $10,000 a ton. We're just resting below that. If the market can see a convincing breakout through the next key level, then we're probably looking at something like $15,000 a ton over the next 2 years. So, but it's just difficult to know right now. There are a few negatives going on. India's really struggling with the coronavirus, as are a few other nations. Okay, the US and the UK are coming out of this, but Europe is still struggling with their vaccine rollout and that kind of stuff. Japan is having trouble as well. We know that China is just touching the brakes a little bit on some of the debt that they've issued for the stimulus projects. That's quite natural. I don't think China is really going to slow anything very much. They're very determined to grow their economy and be bigger and better than everybody else. And well, that's their prerogative.
Yeah, yeah. God, look at copper's chart from the Dash for Cash crash in March last year. It was down at 2. I mean, this is kilos. Is it 2? I'm looking at the 4.5 now. What is that? What's that measurement? Is it?
That'll be dollars per pound. So per pound, I prefer to think in dollars per ton myself. We've just around the $10,000 a ton mark.
Yeah, yeah. So it's doubled, more than doubled since that Dash for Cash, and it's looking like a strong, powerful trend there now. All the moving averages in the right direction. Yeah, I mean, I always remember saying back when, you know, it was just going bouncing along in a range and saying, when is copper going to take off? Everyone knows it's, you know, the hot commodity, a hot commod. But so it certainly did. And some things are lag sometimes, aren't they, you know? Yeah, but where's gold at the moment? Because I remember saying that about gold a couple of weeks back, saying, what's happening to gold at the moment? And where is that? Is that starting to rally?
Gold has been
little
rallying.
A little bit.
People are quite worried about inflation, so gold has popped up. It's just under 18... As $1,800 an ounce, so it's a nice price, but I do think that gold prices can go substantially higher from here because inflation has to come into the system.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Cool. Okay. So let's look at some individual stocks. Let's do it sort of alphabetical. John, Affratin, ATM, of course. What's happening there?
Yeah. Phase one of the expansion of the UIS tin mine. There's a DFS on that. I like this project. I think it's, you know, tin is a great metal. It's so important for the electrification of everything because, you know, everything still requires little bits of tin solder. Even though it's a lot, you know, the manufacturers use a lot less than they used to, but there are very few tin mines in the world. So there are problems at one of the big tin smelters at the moment. Long term, so Affratin not using demanding long term tin prices. Capital investment of $5.7 million generates an NPV $12 million at an IRR 54%. So that's very nice for a small project. 2.4 year payback, pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Well done.
Well done. Thank you very much. Okay, Kodal Minerals, COD, with a K. What's happening there?
Kodal, yes, a good announcement from these guys. They've been talking to the government about getting their mining license, and the Ministry of Mines has said to them that it's pretty much all done, subject to one further approval, and then the license comes to them. And I think that's a seminal moment for the Bougouni lithium project in Mali. So that's great. I mean, that says that's pretty much job done.
Yeah, okay. What's the, let me just look at the chart there. Did it move in that news?
Oh, I must admit, I haven't been looking at the chart.
Do you know what? Yes, it did. Wow, yeah, it did. It went from, it almost doubled, I suppose, 0.125 to now it's at 2.2. So, nice rise. It had, so on one day at 29%, next day 27%, and today up 5%. So yeah, it's perky. It's perky. Next one is Phoenix PXC. What's happening there, John?
Well, the chairman, Marcus Edwards Jones, who's been a driving force behind the company, he described a clear path to production at the Empire Open Cast copper project in Idaho in the States. I've always liked this project. It's, you know, it's an old copper mine. It was run by one of the bigger US companies many years ago, shut down due to low prices. And so Phoenix picked this up when prices were very low and nobody was particularly interested in this sort of thing. And they're talking about developing a mine to produce about 8,500 tons a year of copper, a bit of zinc, 17,000 ounces of gold, 650,000 ounces of silver. So look, it's a nice project. The costs, the cash costs, 1.8 cents dollars a pound. That's quite good. I like companies with sensible copper projects, and this is in a good jurisdiction, so be good to see these guys put this together.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, and finally, Power Metals, of course, headed up by Paul, or, you know, instrumental there in driving this. What's happening with Power Metals?
Well, we like Paul Johnson. We think he's a good investor. I mean, he's an investor that makes his money work. And that's to the benefit of all the shareholders, to be honest. And he's got a production license granted at Kasinka in the Congo, the DRC, as they like to call it.
What's it like operating that area?
Look, some people make it work very easily and seamlessly. I think you've got to be pretty brave to be out in the DRC. It's quite expensive to operate there because it's just a slightly tricky place. The logistics are always a bit more challenging. And it very much depends on where you are in the country as well. If you're in the eastern part of the DRC, then it's a load more difficult. And if, you know, when you travel out there, it feels like a lawless place. I mean, you do not drive around after dark unless you want bad things to happen to you. But it's an extraordinary place. I remember driving for 10 hours through the eastern DRC and in the middle of the, getting through the jungle, in the middle of we found a clearing with an enormous Catholic cathedral in it. Mm-hmm. And you think, how the hell did this get here? It's an incredible place, people everywhere. The geological riches are fantastic. So it's, look, if you're able to operate in the DRC, then there's lots of good money to be made. But it is tricky. It comes with its issues. But at least he's got a production license. So if they can work up a sensible production project at Kasinka, then they can go for it.
Yeah. Did you feel worried when you were there, a bit scared?
It feels very foreboding. It has this extraordinary anxiousness about it when you're out there. But when you go and talk to the artisanal miners who are chipping away, they've always been incredibly friendly. So, you know, that's where you normally expect some trouble. But as I say, I think after dark, it's a different case from in the daylight.
Yeah, absolutely. Marvellous stuff. Cool. Yeah, well, it's a bit like parts of this country, really. Marvellous stuff, John. Thanks for that. We'll speak to you next week.
Look forward to it. Thank you, Justin.
OK, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five, Get Tech Energy, up 14%, 27 pence. At four, Advanced T Limited. Of course, Vin Murray was on the podcast yesterday. That's her company there. Non-mover 122.5 at 3, Guild Esports, non-mover at 6.7. At 2, Eastar Resources, that's non-mover at 7.3. And at 1, ULS Technology, up just shy of 1% to 83.8. Okay, top 5, most read RNSs. Alien Metals at 5, initial draw results from Hammersley Project. At 4, Braveheart, sale of shares by PDMR. At 4, new director holdings, Vast. At 2, Gritland Gold, exercise of options. And at 1, Avacta. Change of nominated advisor. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos appreciate.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.